Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Null Pointers. We are your hosts, Mark
and Stephen.
So, Stephen, a little birdie with an X has told me that you have released a new NuGet library for .NET MAUI. But you don't really want to talk about it. So for everybody listening to the show, be sure to check out the debug rainbows, which allows you to do awesome stuff while developing.
Super smooth, Mark. Super smooth. So it's basically a NuGet package that I built for Xamarin Forms that is now ported to Xamarin. Not to Xamarin. What am I babbling? It's ported to MAUI, obviously. And our good friend of the show, Gerald, has made an awesome video already detailing how to use it, what it does. And he does a much better job at selling it to people than I will. So be sure to check out that video. It'll probably be in the show notes if Mark puts it there. And yeah, it allows for just easy debugging of your visual hierarchy in your app, basically.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe later this year, you will also find again some new stickers from Stephen at his favorite conferences lying around with a beautiful rainbow coming out of a computer in a... Well, we don't have to go into details. You'll see it if you see it at a conference.
If you've seen it, you'll know.
Yeah. Some things are best left untold. So, moving along, you made this awesome NuGet package, trying to do one of our great null pointer segues here, pulling a blank. So let's go straight into it. So, have you heard that App Center is being, well, it's called counted, like the days are counted? It's, I mean, for some reason, I'm not super surprised because .NET MAUI has been now around for, I don't know,
a couple of years?
Yeah, let's call it a couple of years. Some more professional people would probably be able to bring up date. But so it's been around for a while. And App Center has never officially supported .NET MAUI.
Correct.
So one could say there were signs that App Center might not stick around forever. But now it's official. So Microsoft has announced it that App Center is going away. And I remember when I first started public speaking, I actually stumbled upon App Center and I did a talk about it. So it's a bit near and dear to my heart somehow. For me, App Center, it was a great way how to get started in a DevOps-y fashion for your mobile apps. So with App Center, you could build your apps and sign them, which is always fun because those things, at least for Apple, they usually run out of their expiration date, then you have to replace them, or some people want to be added so they can deploy the app onto their phone. So yeah, but that's Apple. So we'll leave that for a bit later on in the show, perhaps. And that was one thing. So you could build your apps, you could sign them, and you could also deploy them. So you had like a little website where it was deployed to, and then you could also put in, I think, a line or add a NuGet package, and then you would get an automatic pop-up during startup telling you, hey, dear user, you should really get the latest and greatest version of this. So if you had any beta testing going on and you wanted to do that outside of the official app stores from Google or Apple or wherever you deploy your apps to, you could do that. And it was quite straightforward. And another thing I really liked about App Center is logs. So you could add one NuGet package and you got, if the thing crashed in a user's hands, you knew which device they were running, you knew plus or minus what went wrong. I mean, sometimes you just got some Java blurb or some native iOS blurb, like, yeah, pointer failure online, whatever, and you just go like, yeah, I don't know what a pointer is in C#, but I guess that must be fun finding out why this thing is crashing. So anyhow, you got logging. And you could also extend that logging for a bit. And I think they also tried to do push notifications for a while. And they also had some other features that came and went. I think one of the other major features was actually UI testing. So you could create UI tests with Xamarin Test UI, I think. Don't quote me on that one. Something along that line, along that order. And you could then run those UI tests on real devices. So you could lease, I don't know, So they had like these storage houses filled with mobile phones where it would then run on, and you could then have like screenshots of your apps during the test, or on Android you could even make some video recordings and then have that. And you could do that, but apparently it wasn't a huge hit, so I guess that's why App Center is no more.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of loved most of these features that you're describing. So, for example, the analytics that came from Xamarin Insights, if I'm not mistaken, that was eventually merged into the thing, and I loved it for its fairly simplistic UI, but it still allowed you to dive pretty deeply into where this thing went wrong, which user was logged on at the time, what was the path that the user took in the app. And what is actually the stack trace of the thing that we're actually erroring out on. Because obviously if you ask a user, he's going to tell you, well, it crashed. And it crashed maybe yesterday? Was it yesterday? I don't know. So that's typically the kind of responses at least you can expect. So that was a very helpful thing. And you mentioned the warehouses full of devices. I must admit, I never really wrote a whole lot of UI tests. Like I did the basic, the login screen, the you know, that kind of really basic entry level UI test. And then most of the customers that I actually had that were interested in this kind of thing either thought it took up too much time to actually make them, or it took up too much money to actually run them. So that really, I never really saw the whole warehouse full of devices in all its glory, if it even existed. I don't know. Maybe it was just two Android phones in a cubicle. I really don't know.
But it was definitely more than two Android phones. And I've never seen the actual storage facility where they were hosted, but there were quite a few phones. And I know in its heyday, I think when it was also still the Xamarin UI Test Cloud, there were some companies, and it was actually even one that was working for, who really hoped that the UI testing would bring them a lot of quality insurance, and that they could just, remembering they did not really have a lot of other automated tests. So the idea was, we will just write UI tests, and then we will know if it's good or not. And if you're a listener, you're having similar thoughts, trust me, you don't want to just have UI tests. UI tests are quite slow and quite clunky. And I think that's also one reason why they never really took off. I mean, you writing a UI test and also maintaining it takes quite some time. So you will be always fiddling around with those UI tests. And I do see value in them, but you probably want to have a few of them and test a few of your happy paths. I remember you could, on App Center, you could have a very, very simple test. I think it was during your build, where it was like a smoke test. So it would basically just see if your app starts up. So it would like recognize if anything else than a desktop was there. And if that was the case, your app was running, probably. If not, well, it probably crashed and it failed. Something like that. Maybe. Maybe you just could get an image. But I think that can be a helpful feature, especially like if you got a very wide range of devices you want to support. And you could then just go ahead and just say, well, I just want to run a smoke test of my app on various devices to see if it's actually starting up. But for testing purposes, UI tests are always very slow. So if you think about your dev cycle, you know, like you want to have quick feedback. So if you have a unit test, you usually get feedback within milliseconds or seconds if you include the build. And for UI tests, that was minutes, easy minutes, where you were just waiting. And so you would not kick off those UI tests very often, or you would only run them in a nightly build. And if you only run them in a nightly build and they fail, you go like, yeah, it's just UI tests. And as soon as you think like that about any of your tests, that test is practically doomed. That test is doomed. It's also like with those flaky tests that sometimes fail. And I think that was like one of the issues that went along with UI tests. So I think a lot of good can come from them, but because they were too slow and the maintenance cost was just like so high of writing them, plus you had to pay for running, executing them on these devices, I just think that was a bit too much for most people, especially since, as you mentioned it before, logging, you could get that so cheap. So if you have a bad app and you just have like a horde of beta testers and the app crashes and you get a good log, that is way easier than writing those UI tests. And if the log is good, you're off with a very nice bug ticket that you can address to a developer that then fixes it. You might still want to tell your beta testers that they shouldn't put any app ratings into the store. But yeah, that's a story for something else. So now I think we established that App Center is no more. There were many things we liked about App Center. There were some things about App Center that were like, nah, well, yeah. And I think the problem from App Center was like all the things that were, well, I don't know. They costed money. And all the
pretty
cool
much.
And nice things, they were for free. So I think there might have been some revenue issues.
Yeah, if everyone's using the free bits but not the paid bits, that sort of harkens progress, I suppose. But like you mentioned already, like the build thing, I enjoyed it pretty much, but at some point it was very entry, just to sketch the whole picture, like it was pretty entry level. You would just say, I want to do a Xamarin build, it's for Android, this is my project, let's go. And it would sort of like in the background spin up a magic pipeline that would hopefully build the thing. So there's no, for people like me, this is ideal. There's no YAML, no anything that you're currently having with DevOps or GitHub Actions. Like you're not writing any of that YAML stuff. It did that for you, I suppose, somewhere in the background, maybe. But that also means once something goes wrong in the build, which given the fact that these workloads upgrade and like everything around these pipelines is also kind of always in flux, that you're kind of waiting for other people to fix the pipelines, which, yeah, that's just not great. But if they did work, they were great. That sounds really, really stupid, but yeah, like it's still the case.
I totally agree with you, Stephen. I think when you started out with a mobile app and you had very little knowledge of how to create your own DevOps pipeline, it was great because it required minimal input from you. It was like a nice form that told you, hey, now please, I need this, that information from you, click, 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 or upload, or whatever. And you had a build that was not running on your device, but it was actually running on a build server, which is generally a good idea. Even if you're in a one-man project, I always recommend having a build server because you end up having some pieces of code or some libraries that are just on your machine and it's not properly checked into version control. And then you get a new machine, you get your stuff, it doesn't work, you already sold your other laptop, whatever, and it's just a mess. So I think building stuff not on your own machine but on a build server, a totally great thing. That being said, App Center had its limitations. So at least for me, I later on or quite quickly started to invest time into Azure DevOps to bring that up to running. And so if you are looking how to migrate away from App Center, you could either choose Azure DevOps. You might also have already some pieces of code lying around there for other projects, or GitHub Actions is today also a candidate. I think under the hood, I mean, GitHub is its own entity, but it's also owned by Microsoft. So they are very similar. So you usually have either a YAML pipeline that you get. You can get predefined build steps that you can introduce. It's a bit more technical. You have to be a bit more technically savvy. There are, however, blog posts out there that will take you by the hand and for the first time bring you through the process. It's not as easy as with App Center, but you can do a lot more sophisticated stuff. So App Center was really great, but if you deviated from the path that App Center laid out, it was a mess. They had options that you could run scripts before and after the build by also having that in your source repository, but I never really got around to that. And also, like, when I read through the documentations, it felt a bit like an afterthought and not like so. That wasn't like the part that wasn't anymore so nice and easy. So, yeah, for me, in the end, all of my builds that we had, at least for the company that I work for, we used to do them, or we still do them, I should say, on Azure DevOps. So we did that for our Xamarin apps. And we do that now for .NET MAUI apps, and it runs really great. If you're on a Windows device, you can also rent machines from Azure DevOps. I think you get some free minutes per month. And I think it's the same for GitHub. I'm not so into the details of the GitHubs, and also not for the pricing.
Me neither.
On both of those, but you can basically, you have an agent, so the agent does the compilation and all the stuffs and the signings. So that's like your virtual server or PC somewhere in the cloud, and you can pay, I think it's around $30-$40 a month to have that, at least in Azure DevOps, or you got to pay per use. Thing that's going on, which is a bit steep when you look at mobile builds, especially because the compilation, it can take a while if you're doing release builds. That's just the thing when doing mobile. They do a lot of low-level optimization, sometimes even some ahead-of-time compilation, and that just is a bit slower than your run-of-the-mill ASP.NET Core application. So I think what we can say is, App Center is no more when it comes to build. It was really great for demos because you could do, like, I think, a build pipeline for iOS and Android within 15 minutes, which is very quick, very quick.
It's pretty quick, yeah.
But I usually always run into limitations later on, so I always migrated away from there. So there are options out there. So we don't really have a problem reproducing our builds when it comes to .NET MAUI. Another thing that we both are huge fans of was, I think, the better deployment, Steven. So what are options there?
Yeah, we used to have Hockey App, which is what eventually got adopted by App Center. Talking about another blast of the past.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently there were a lot of Xamarin tools that got absorbed and merged into App Center. And then in an attempt to further develop them, we are now at the point where they're basically sunsetted. But it was pretty good for that. You uploaded your beta certificates and all that stuff, and it would just sign your builds, and you would get an email saying, hey, there's a new version for you, download it. And I actually used that pretty extensively. In the end, it was sort of like a weird wrapper on top of TestFlight and on top of Google Play beta, whatever that's officially called, which I always found kind of strange given that things like Apple are notoriously gated. So I was always kind of amazed how that would actually produce a build that works on your Apple without visually having Apple involved. I'm sure they used all sorts of API calls and things into the dev portal to get all the certificates and all the things. But that worked pretty well. And honestly, now that App Center is dead, and even before App Center died, honestly as well, I think you would just use the platforms that come from actual Google and Apple. So in this case, the Play Store and the TestFlight thing. I don't really know of any external tooling that does that at the moment, similar to what App Center or Hockey App did. But it's at the moment already pretty simple, because the same build pipelines that you mentioned in Azure DevOps or GitHub Actions, you can already have steps in there that actually put your binary into TestFlight or into Google Play Store, tag it as a beta or tag it as whatever kind of internal testing thing, and basically the entire process can be automated through that. I don't know if you're aware of any third-party tools that do something similar, but I've never really looked into it, because the basic premise of what TestFlight and Google already offer you is enough for what I need to do.
So as far as I get it, the official recommendation from Microsoft is use the Google Play Beta Store and the Apple TestFlight. I would agree with you, Stephen, that it is a bit more of a gate that you have to get to get into those. And so I know, especially like on Apple, if you make a better deployment, it will be checked by someone before you can release it. There used to be these tricks that you could do, like deploy a version to test flight, and then as long as you only made minor updates. I don't know if this is still the case. Might be.
Me neither.
The review process would be then speedline, so you would then have your update. So, and every time you made like a major update to the test flights, it would then go again through a bit of a more sophisticated check. But generally speaking, it was a lot easier to do that with Hockey App and then what later became App Center, especially because you could also like invite people to there. I remember like on Hockey App, you also had some fancy features of re-signing, I think, your builds once they were up there or something like that, or like doing these things. So I think that option is a way. It's always a bit of a hassle to do that, or it became always more of a hassle. I think on Android, it used to be super easy to download a app from a website, which was basically what you did when you used App Center. And that process now required that you go into the system settings and then enable like download third-party and stuff.
Yeah.
And if you're in an enterprise environment, which has got managed devices from the IT, that option is usually no longer there because it's also kind of a security risk to just like install apps from the webs. And I think that's also like one reason why I know of some companies, they do all of their beta testing, even the internal ones, they do it all over Google Play stores and test flights just because of the managed devices, and it's just like one clean channel that you then can consume, which is not the case with App Center. A while ago, I would have to try this out for Maui apps, though it has got absolutely nothing to do with Maui. You can reproduce it. So I remember like you can basically upload any APK to, or it's no longer APK, is it? You can upload any Android app, the new or the old format, to a website and just simply send someone a URL to that on an Android phone, and they can then download that and then let it run. That still works as long as the option is enabled that you can run apps from third parties. For iOS, you had to do a little trick. So you had to have an XML file that you pointed the link to, and then that XML file would basically just have a URL into it, like over there is the iOS app, and then you could download it and it would work. I think I wrote many, many years ago, I wrote a blog post about this. If I find it, I'll put it into the show notes. So what I'm trying to tell you is, you could replicate, I think, App Center for that better hosting part internally if you are really keen. And these days, with the AI revolutions and co-pilots, you might actually have this done quite quickly. You might be able to see, just to tell them, like, I need a yada yada for whatever, not, and it would just go. Oh, maybe a fun project. I mean, there are weekends coming up this year.
I won't be joining you.
Yeah,
I'm perfectly fine with what we have.
Yeah, me too. But if you absolutely need this and it's a must-have, you could probably write some web backend that would provide you with these features. Though you would then have to implement a NuGet package on your own, which has got the fancy things with, hey, there is a new version and whatnot. I think that was like the main benefit you got from using App Center was if you had a new version present, it would actually inform the users of your app, hey, there is a new version. And if you just have like some static link that you're sending or emails, when the app opens up, the user will not get notified. And you had that. I think from a beta testing point of view, we lost a few options with App Center now being gone, at least to our knowledge. If any of you listeners actually know something, please let us know on Twitter. You can find me and Stephen there. Stephen at Devonel, me at Malibone. So yeah, just tag us and let us know. Moving along, logs. Now, Stephen, I really like those logs. I could add one NuGet package and I would get Crashlytics. That was
awesome. Sweet. Yeah.
So what do we do now? Just don't write any bugs anymore? What do we
do? Yeah, we do. First of all, just write less bugs. That's a personal note maybe to you, but
I mean, I remember someone once telling me, their project lead just said, you know, if you would write less bugs, we could release on time.
Yeah.
If I would have been that person, I don't know what I would have answered to that project manager, but I probably would have laughed at my first point because, thank you, Captain Obvious.
Pretty much. But other than that, the ones that I've been using fairly recently, Sentry comes to mind, which is fairly similar, actually. Well, fairly similar. It is, obviously, all these tools have sort of the same end goal of giving you a lot of information, but I found Sentry to be pretty similar in how it presents that information to what we used to have in App Center. This is obviously not a sponsor ad or whatever. But Sentry still has that same capability of giving you all the device information of where this crash occurred, the stack traces, all the drilling down deeper and deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole of your bugs. And I pretty much enjoyed it for that. Obviously, that's a separate paid option again. It's not free as the App Center version of it was. Alternatively, I believe Firebase Crashalytics or whatever they call it is also a fairly popular one. I faintly remember another one, but the name kind of escapes me at this point. I believe the icon is a rocket of some sorts, or is that Sentry? Maybe I'm already completely losing it.
Yeah, I think there's another one out there. It just wants to come to my mind, but I remember. I remember the ads of telling you how easy it is to find it, because it will not only tell you how it crashes, but it also makes some performance analytics.
I think I figured it out. I think it wasn't a rocket ship, but it was a ray gun. And I think it was called Ray Gun.
That's it. Ray Gun. Yeah.
See, whew, we found it. We found it. And we didn't have to cut any second out of this podcast to get there.
Oh, great. So I can't think
so. So yeah, in the end, there are options out there, and I think there will always be options out there. They're just typically an external paid third-party thing. Microsoft also, the Application Insights, is it still called that?
I don't know.
Azure products change Azure name more often insights. Than...
So in Azure, you have a logging service. And what you now basically can do is you could do that in App Center too. So if you installed the NuGet package, you would get like crash reports for free. And they were for what you had to do just to install like one NuGet package and then get the information you got from that. That was like a really good trade, especially because the service was free. Now, with the services we just mentioned before, none of them are sponsors of this show. So try them out. If you like them, great. If not, maybe look for another one. And but what you sometimes want to do on top of like crash logs is like having, if you handle an error, you might want to have some logging in place which tells you like I had an error, and maybe also then on top of that start to do some analytics like, oh my god, a ton of users are suddenly running into this weird authentication issue, or a file upload suddenly no longer works and it used to always work very reliably. So you can like be one step ahead of users yelling at you, or just simply saying file upload does not work, !! Goodbye. Okay. So if they were just like say file upload doesn't load, you at least know which direction. Sometimes they're just like this app doesn't work since last update. It's really bad. !! Goodbye. That's of course unfortunate. And if you want to be like a bit ahead of the curve before the many, many angry reviews come along, you could add logs to your application at various points so you would know what's going on. You could also use them to track usage of certain parts of your app so that you know which features are being used or new features actually being discovered by users, or do we have to do some additional things. There are a lot of interesting things you can do with logs. You could add those logs with App Center, and you can now add similar logs probably by using one of the services we mentioned before. And there's the Azure Log Insights Analytics service. We're really great with names today, aren't we, Stephen? Another one that I've been using a lot at work is SEQ. So you can, or Serilog. So you can add a logging package to also via NuGet to your mobile app. And then you can, over the standard iLogger, that you get from the .NET runtime, you can then start to creating log messages. You can also make structured log messages. And SEQ is a server by Datalust. It's a paid service, but what it allows you is to run your log server that receives all the log messages from all your mobile clients in an on-premise environment. Or if you host your own servers at the back, or you host this service, you can also host it on Azure if you want to, but it will just give you an option that is not the standard Azure logging service if you like to do that. And we at our company, we're using SEQ and we're quite happy with it. you got like some really great ways of analyzing these log files. And now that App Center is no more, we will probably be looking at ways how we can replicate these crash logs that we received in App Center via Serilog and then later seed on our SDQ server. Because basically, all the information that you got in App Center with these log messages, they had to get them from the device themselves anyway. So we know, maybe Microsoft will open source the client library so we can have a peek at how it's done.
That would be fun.
You could also probably disassemble it. I don't know how legal that is.
Yeah.
Depends probably on the license that the thing wasn't running under. But if you would have been at MIT, you'd probably have a sneak peek and then know which parts of the API they were referencing when getting all the information, because you probably, I mean, the device that it's running on and all that, that information would be accessible, I guess, in a MAUI application or by extending your MAUI application a wee bit. Probably another interesting weekend project, but one that
you and your weekend projects.
Yeah, so many weekend projects, so little weekends, especially now that springtime, so in the Northern Hemisphere, springtime is starting. So that means a lot of outdoor activities have come again back on the calendar, which makes weekend activities in front of the computer that more challenging, especially because of the time component that has gone again rather small.
But still, it's a fun project. But
it's a fun project. It's definitely one you could check out.
But in the end, like I must admit, I'm not. You covered it at the beginning already, like App Center died, but it was in the cards, and it's been in the cards for quite a while. I wasn't amazed, and I'm also not terribly offended by it, I suppose. Some people take that opportunity to start all sorts of drama, it feels like. We're a dramaless podcast, so we won't get into that. But yeah, it was in the cards. It happened. I think a lot of people already went and searched for alternatives in the past few years and slowly outsourced everything from App Center into different things. So at the bottom line, I don't really think it's that much of a hindrance, unless you didn't see the writing on the wall, maybe. Yeah, I can't speak for everyone, but it happened.
It happened. It's here. I think best to move on.
Definitely.
The build part was outdated many years ago. The UI testing was fairly broken. I mean,
almost
haven't covered it. We haven't covered the UI testing yet, Stephen.
Oh.
So there is actually a solution, or there starts to be a solution that how you can do it. I think it's based on Appium, which also allows you to write UI tests. And our good friend Gerald has done a YouTube video
again,
most probably linked in the show notes again. So you could migrate your UI tests over there if you are still running them. So the support for Xamarin apps probably would still be working. I once did a blog post on how you could run this stuff against .NET MAUI apps. It was more of a proof that it could be done and less of a proof that you should do it that way, because it felt like super flaky. And as far as I remember, the Xamarin UI test was based on Calabash, which was it's a different UI testing library than Appium is using under the hood. So yeah, you probably would have to move a few things over. So
some compatibility issues exist there.
Yeah.
No.
But if you require UI tests, the option is still there. The device farm, I don't know if there are any options there, to be honest, but I know that back in the day, the test cloud from App Center was not the only one that was provided, so you might be able to find some. I also remember there were like some boxes that you could get, but this is now years old of information where you could like plug in devices and all that stuff. But I've spoken to people that run these setups, and they just say, you don't believe what breaks. Whatever can break will break. And I'm not just talking here about Bluetooth batteries, but also like cables that broke and all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think you need real good reasons to do UI tests beyond the simulator. Especially, I would just to be honest, these days I would just see that your logging infrastructure is good enough, so you get the information if something goes wrong, that you know where it went wrong, and maybe also have some information about on which hardware it went wrong. Yep. Don't track users in your logs, please, unless you have a very, very good reason to do so, which also upholds in front of court. But usually we don't have to know when an app crashes, which user was actually using the app. Unless you got some fun blame game going on in your team where you then require, don't need that one.
Yeah, and I think in to add to your what to do for UI testing, it's not as easy for everyone, obviously, but if you can get an internal testing base for your app with a few different devices, maybe some people in the team with different devices, or if you have a testing team at the customer or whatever, like just do some variation of devices testing locally, I suppose, instead of somewhere in a cloud, because I don't think it exists anymore in any shape or form. I think I've never heard of at least an alternative big warehouse in Denmark. Maybe in Sweden there's one, I don't know, but yeah, I haven't heard of an alternative for that, so best to just keep it locally, I suppose.
Yeah, and don't overdo it. This was very sound advice. Don't overdo it. No, as with always, use in moderation. I think UI tests can be helpful. There used to be a huge hype around them. I think the hype's died down quite a bit these days for various reasons we already mentioned before. And with that, we have covered why App Center is no more, but it's only beginning for your DevOps journey for your mobile applications, because there are many options out there and they might not all come under one domain, which I know is a bit sad. Most probably makes things a lot more, or maybe not a lot, but makes them a bit more complicated, because you now have to go picking around for what option would be best. But you might have already also missed out on quite a few great options out there because you were just sticking to one domain because it had all the services.
And it also prevents you from getting into the situation where the entire domain just gets rug pulled out from under you, I suppose.
Yeah.
Spread those eggs in different baskets, I suppose.
And on that high note, this was Null Points for this week. We were your hosts, Mark Alibone
and Stephen Davison.
Stay safe and see you next week.